Some are asking, how much time do we have left? Is such talk good news or gloom and doom? We think the answer lies in the blessed hope.
But here's something to think about. Foreshocks, as it were. You know, we have like foreshocks before a major earthquake. But what we're experiencing today is a lot of foreshocks, prophetically speaking. And so a lot of the stuff that's going to happen during the tribulation, we're actually seeing preparations for right now.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell. Jen meets this hour with Dr. Ron Rhodes to discuss his latest publication, Bible Prophecy Answer Book. A familiar voice on this broadcast, Ron Rhodes is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures. For the next hour, Jen and Dr. Rhodes will unpack the themes of eschatology and, as we live out our lives in Christ, the importance of knowing prophecy. Let's get the conversation started. Here's Jen Markell.
Matthew chapter 24 is one of the most important passages in the Bible concerning the future of mankind. Here we find the disciples asking Jesus, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?"
Well, when Jesus talked about the signs of the times, his disciples hung on his every word. That was a different thing with the Pharisees. He warned them. And what he said was, as we have in Matthew 16:3, you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times.
Today, much of society finds itself in the same position as the Pharisees. Facing what many believe to be the end times or last days, people everywhere aren't sure what to believe. Confusion sets in when we compare a world rich in technology and luxury undreamed of even 50 years ago with the grim reality of the end time prophecies, some of them thousands of years old, that are apparently being fulfilled all around us. But Christians have an advantage over the world. They have God's word to guide them.
And welcome to the program. I'm so glad you could join me for the hour, and we're going to be considering some of those issues that you just heard that clip of Dr. J. Randall Price. But my guest for the hour is Dr. Ron Rhodes, and he says that loving prophecy can change your life. It has mine, and by the way, it has mine as well. And it has brought many to faith, including my guest, Dr. Ron Rhodes. And someone said, a prominent Bible teacher actually calls what we're going to talk about for this hour, eschatology, a distraction. Another calls it a waste of time. And many suggest it is majoring in minors. Well, why don't we focus on fixing today rather than on some verses about tomorrow? So we're going to consider that. And Bible prophecy reminds us that God knows the future. God is in control of all that occurs in the world. He has a plan for all of mankind, starting with you, that God will cause good to triumph over evil. And it reminds us that the Lord is coming soon. We're actually carrying Ron Rhodes' newest book, Bible Prophecy, the Bible Prophecy Answer Book, everything you need to know about the end times. It has dozens of questions with terrific answers. Dr. Ron Rhodes, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much.
One out of four verses talks about end time issues, and yet about probably, who knows, maybe 5% of our churches will consider this topic. And I dealt with that with Dr. Mark Hitchcock. But people are running from the topic. They consider it bad news. They consider it doom and gloom. And yet prophecy has been provided not to scare us, but to prepare us.
Well, I think you're right. You know, to me, you cannot ignore 25% of the Bible. You know, 25% of the verses in the Bible were prophetic when originally written. And Jesus himself spoke a lot about prophecy. So are you going to ignore what Jesus said? To me, Jan, the end result of studying Bible prophecy is not doom and gloom. Rather, it's that my faith in God greatly increases. The end result of studying Bible prophecy is that spiritual lethargy is cured. And there's a lot of that in the church today. The end result of studying Bible prophecy is that your confidence in God grows. And personally, I believe that the end result of studying prophecy is that you become powerfully motivated to live your life for the Lord. You know, when you think about it, no wonder the devil is so busy attacking Bible prophecy today. No wonder he's trying to get Christians to ignore Bible prophecy. No wonder Bible prophecy has become an one of his primary targets, he knows that it would bring his downfall if every Christian understood Bible prophecy.
Well, there's confusion among those who do not see how Israel and the church are distinct from each other. There's confusion because of amillennialism, preterism, and other theologies that have folks confused. And if we have time, I want to address a few of those issues. But Ron, you and I are sometimes criticized for taking heed to some of these stage setting signs. And I want to focus here for a little bit of time. There are many end time signs that are specifically for the tribulation, yet it would appear they are forming now. So how do you respond to that? Because we don't want to be reckless speculators. We really don't.
Well, that's right. Now, it's important to understand that if you go to the Olivet Discourse, which is one of Jesus's sermons found in Matthew 24 and 25, we find Jesus talking about the tribulation period and all the prophecies that deal with that period. Now, the significant thing is that even though the signs of the times that he talks about belong to the tribulation period, what we see today is the stage being set for those things. And I remember one of my old professors, one of my favorites, was Dr. John F. Wolbert, whom I spent a lot of time with, and he compared the rapture to Thanksgiving and the second coming to Christmas. And you know, there's all kinds of signs that Christmas is drawing near, manger scenes and lights and decorations and so forth, but Thanksgiving can sneak up on you. Now, here's the thing. If Thanksgiving hasn't taken place yet, and yet you're seeing signs for Christmas, well, you know that Thanksgiving is all the nearer. And so what that means for you and me is that if we see signs of the times having the stage set for those signs today, why, we know that the tribulation period is all the nearer. And even better, we know that the rapture is all the nearer. And so that's one of the reasons why I think it's so important to understand what the Bible says about the signs of the times.
You know, you talk about in your book, you kind of outline the different kinds of signs of the times, and you have them in six categories. And I'll ask you to expound briefly, only in the interest of time. Let's start with, I guess, what we would call the super sign, which you outline in the book, the rebirth of Israel.
Well, the rebirth of Israel is the super sign because nothing else makes sense without it. You know, with the rebirth of Israel, that sets the stage for so many other prophecies to be fulfilled. For example, Jan, how can the Antichrist sign a covenant with Israel if Israel does not yet exist as a nation? How can the temple be rebuilt in Israel if Israel does not yet exist as a nation? You see, this is the super sign because it gets everything else started. And just for those who are interested in this, Ezekiel 36:24 says that I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. That's a promise from God. And Jan, that's never happened before in history. Never before have you seen the Jews returning from all the countries of the world back to the Holy Land.
Right. And sadly, there are many theologies, including amillennialism, including preterism, and others that are going to minimalize, if not just almost denounce what you just talked about. And they consider it of no relevance whatsoever. The church is Israel.
You know, one of the things that makes it relevant to me is that when you look at all the prophecies of the Old Testament, talking about the first coming of Christ, they were all fulfilled quite literally. You know, being born of a virgin, Christ was going to be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. He was to be pierced for our sins, Zechariah 12:10. From the line of Abraham, Genesis 12. I could give you over 100 prophecies that were fulfilled literally. So, Jan, the precedent has been set. Just as all of those prophecies were literally fulfilled, so the prophecies about the rebirth of Israel and all the other signs of the times will be literally fulfilled.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Dr. Ron Rhodes. We are actually carrying his newest book, Bible Prophecy Answer Book, Everything You Need to Know About the End Times. And it's a quick, well, let's see, it's not a long book. It's less than 250 pages with dozens and dozens and dozens of questions and answers. Find it at olivetreeviews.org. Give us a call. It'll be in our print and e-newsletters as well. Let's move on to some other signs of the times. You also highlight moral signs. Talk to me about that.
Well, just to give you one of many examples, we could go to 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. And in that passage, one thing we learn is that in the last days, people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure. Jan, you might call lovers of self humanists. Lovers of money is materialism. Lovers of pleasure is hedonism. And the reason why all that's significant is that humanism, materialism, and hedonism are three of the most prominent philosophies in our world today.
Yeah.
And they often go together in a complementary fashion. And so I think that's extremely significant. And that's only one passage. There's quite
that's
a number
right.
of passages.
The number of passages, yes.
Right.
Well, let's move on. Another category, you talk about religious signs. What would they be?
Well, that would include, for example, apostasy in the church. You know, we've got Christian leaders today denying that Christ was perfect, saying that he did some sin while he was on the earth. We've got Christian leaders today teaching that God is not all-powerful or all-knowing. I mean, that's a falling away from the faith. We've also got false apostles and false teachers and false prophets who are spreading false doctrines. And it's no longer on the periphery, Jan. They've gone mainstream. You can see them on television every night of the week. And so this is one of the signs of the times that's really taken off in recent days.
National alignment signs.
Well, for example, there's going to one day be a United States of Europe, a revived Roman Empire headed up by the Antichrist. And so I think the balance of power is going to swing from the United States of America to the United States of Europe. And as well, Scripture is very clear that in the end times, there will be a massive northern coalition made up of Russia, Iran, Sudan, Turkey, Libya, and other Muslim nations that invade Israel. And today, we see each of these nations developing alliances with each other.
That's right.
And so the stage is being set.
You're right. Earth and sky signs.
Here we're talking about various kinds of cosmic signs, including the darkening of the sun and darkening of the moon and earthquakes. There's also verses that talk about Wormwood, which is going to be a deep impact asteroid that strikes the earth. And people will no longer be able to drink the water that's been contaminated by it. If you can imagine that thing just flying through the air, spreading out its deadly poisons into the waters of the world, well, that's something that's going to happen. And by the way, our own government leaders are now saying it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when Earth gets struck by some kind of an asteroid or a body like Wormwood. And so that's another sign of the times. It's categorized as an earth and sky sign.
And then you list technological signs.
Well, here I talk about different signs that are made possible by modern technology. For example, we know that when the two prophetic witnesses of Revelation are killed, every eye on earth will be watching them. How does that happen? Do all the people move over to Jerusalem? No. They can watch it on TV or they can watch it on internet feeds. We also know that the gospel must be preached to every nation. We know that there's going to be a mark of the beast, which makes it so that nobody can buy or sell without having that mark. And the only way that that could be enforced is by modern technology. There's also the possibility of nuclear detonations with a third of the earth being burned up and a third of the trees being burned up and all the green grass being burned up. And so these are the kinds of things I'm talking about when I mention technological signs of the times.
You know, and some of the things you've just cited that come out of the book of Revelation, not all, but some of the things come out of Revelation. And a lot of people feel they can't understand this book. They aren't even aware that there's a special blessing for those who do read and heed it, Revelation 1:3. But they get overwhelmed with the horsemen of the apocalypse and some of the other symbolism in both Daniel and Revelation.
Well, they do. But one of the things you have to keep in mind is that even though there are symbols in the book of Revelation, typically those symbols are defined for us right in the context. For example, we read about seven lampstands, but then we are told that those represent seven churches. We read about a bowl of incense, and then we're told that that bowl of incense refers to the prayers of Christians rising up before God. And so because those symbols are defined for us right in the context, we can quickly understand the literal truth that they represent. And besides, one of the things about the book of Revelation that a lot of people don't consider is that there are time clues, chronology clues. In Revelation 1:19, John is told by the Lord himself to write the things that he has just seen, the things that presently are, and the things that will take place after this. And the things that take place after this are prophetic, referring to the tribulation in chapters 4 through 18, the second coming in chapter 19, the millennial kingdom in chapter 20, and the eternal state in chapters 21 and 22. And so there's a lot in the book of Revelation that a lot of Christians don't consider, but if you understood those things, it would make it a whole lot easier to understand the book of Revelation. And by the way, Jan, I do have a lot of questions from the book of Revelation in this book.
You do. Yep, I appreciate that. You've got about 24 chapters here and all sorts of campaign of Armageddon, second coming and subsequent judgments, a millennial kingdom, great white throne, lake of fire, new heavens, new earth. But of course, you start with some of the basics, signs of the times, American prophecy, rapture of the church, etc. And you cover, I think, most of, if not all, of the important. And, you know, one more thing, Ron, as far as listing categories of signs and all that, but I think the thing I have noticed most in the last 1 to 2 years is the longing for a leader who can fix everything. Have you seen that as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, today we're witnessing multiple cascading problems that now face humanity. We've got the entire Middle East conflict, terrorism, overpopulation, starvation, pollution, national, international crime and cyber warfare and economic instability. Nobody knows what to do. And for that reason, people worldwide today seem to be yearning for a leader who can take control and fix everything. You know, the global economy especially, we've got people reeling and suffering all over the world.
Yeah, we do.
And it doesn't seem like anybody can fix it. Well, one day, there's going to be an individual that rises, and you and I know who that is.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Antichrist. And one of the first things he does is he signs a covenant with Israel, apparently solving the Middle East conflict.
Yeah, if time allows, I actually want to talk to you a little bit about the Antichrist. I don't fixate on him for obvious reasons. I don't believe the church is going to be here to get acquainted with him. Although
I'm with you there.
Yeah, there certainly are going to be believers on earth. They're going to be coming to faith during that tribulation thanks to the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Where I would like to go, particularly in my next segment, I might start it out here. I know what my listeners are always, always interested in, and that is America in prophecy. First, let me just say right up front, you do not believe America is Babylon. So tell me what you think Babylon represents.
Well, I personally believe that Babylon is going to be a literal city in the end times. You know, to me, when you look at Scripture and when you follow the policy that when the plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up in nonsense. The way I read prophecy is that Israel always refers to Israel and Babylon always refers to Babylon. And I believe that there's going to be a literal city, and at some point during the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to set up a temporary office there or a headquarters there. That doesn't mean he's isolated there, but he will have a headquarters there. And one of the things I've often talked about to people is that that would be the ideal place to be located in order to control the oil reserves of the world.
Mm.
Every major country has a major war machine made up of tanks and jets and all kinds of other kind of machinery. And the one thing that's required to make that run is oil. And so by controlling the oil fields, he can control exactly who gets oil and who does not get oil. And so I think that's a real possibility.
But literal Babylon is in Iraq, which right now is in tatters thanks to ISIS war conflict. Are you suggesting it could be literal Babylon?
I'm suggesting it could be a literal Babylon, yes. You know, when Saddam Hussein was alive, it didn't take him long by spending a fortune of money to build Babylon up quite quickly. It didn't take long. And especially when the Antichrist becomes the world leader and he's the one giving the orders, I don't think it will take long at all for him to set up a literal city. Now, having said that, Jan, I also think that when you consult the book of Revelation, that it's not just a literal city, but also represents a false system, a false religious system, and even an economic system. It's kind of like the term Wall Street. There is a literal Wall Street in New York, but the term Wall Street has also come to represent the financial institutions of our country. And so likewise, I believe that there's going to be a literal city, Babylon, in Iraq, but also that term comes to represent an anti-God system over which the Antichrist will rule.
What I'd like to do in segment number two then, Ron, is give a little more attention, since you don't feel that America is Babylon, nor do I, where you do see America fitting in to the end time picture, because your book talks about it here extensively, which I appreciated. That's something that almost every listener, if they're in the Western world, is curious what's going to happen to the Western world here in the latter days. We will do that, folks. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
On today's Understanding the Times, Jan's featuring Ron Rhodes' newest release, Bible Prophecy Answer Book. It's available in our web store at olivetreeviews.org, or phone orders are accepted at 763-559-4444. Again, dial 763-559-4444. Every week, our media team puts together one of the most informative programs on the air. Our audience is growing all over the country. Thank you for your response. You can help us continue to come into your neighborhood, become our ministry partner, when you send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Please stay with us. Jan will return shortly with Ron Rhodes. It's not too early to make plans to attend Understanding the Times 2017, Saturday, October 7, just outside of Minneapolis. Join us at Grace Church in Eden Prairie from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's no cost or registration needed. You can spend the day with like-minded believers who don't think it's strange that you want to understand the times and also discern the times of Bible prophecy. Speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Our book, the Bible, contains 29% future events. 29% of this book is Bible prophecy. God wants us to know even the future.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
So I don't believe we should scoff at signs. I don't believe we should be reckless speculators, but I do believe that signs of the times are important and that we live in a time today when the stage is being set.
Pastor J.D. Farag from Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii.
Jerusalem, as Joel Rosenberg calls it, is the epicenter. It is the second hand on God's prophetic clock. You want to know what time it is in terms of Bible prophecy? Look at Jerusalem.
Michelle Bachman.
Jesus Christ is coming back. We, in our lifetimes, potentially could see Jesus Christ returning to earth, the rapture of the church. This is one of the most exciting times in history. We need to be exactly watching the tenor of the times, be observing, and look up our redemption draweth nigh.
Hotel information is posted at our website, olivetreeviews.org, or call us for complete details at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We have promised that we'll keep talking about today, but always with an eye on tomorrow and the hope of His return.
Scripture prophesies that there's going to be a massive invasion into Israel by nations like Iran and Libya and Turkey and Russia and the nations around the Black and Caspian Seas, all the Stan nations, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, and all of those. In fact, Russia's really buddying up with Syria right now in recent days. It seems like the stage is being set. And so to me, the stage is perfectly set for the Ezekiel invasion. That invasion could take place before the tribulation period. When that invasion takes place, God is going to wipe out those Muslim invaders. That makes it much easier for the Jewish people to rebuild their temple on the Temple Mount.
Dr. Ron Rhodes' new release, Bible Prophecy Answer Book, is the subject of today's Understanding the Times. Jan Markell's discussion questions for Ron come from his book. It's available now in our web store. A little bit later in this broadcast, we'll tell you how to get your copy. But first, let's rejoin the conversation with Ron and Jan.
When will the 70th and final week of the countdown begin? According to many Bible scholars, sooner than we think, perhaps even in this generation. They base that belief on one key event, something that was predicted by biblical prophets thousands of years ago and came to pass in 1948.
Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such things? Can a country be born in a day or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor then she gives birth to her children.
When it comes to accuracy, no one can hold a candle to the biblical prophets. The record of prophetic utterance is so far unblemished by any failure. Not surprisingly, those prophecies have concerned the fate of Israel. And as history can now attest, one of the most difficult prophecies to fulfill came to pass as the entire world watched.
2,600 years ago, the prophet Ezekiel received a vision from God in which Israel as a people was viewed as a scattering of dead bones. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be divided into two kingdoms.
This prophecy in Ezekiel is one of the most remarkable and specific found in the Bible, and many of us living today have watched this come to pass.
And welcome back. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I have Dr. Ron Rhodes on the line because we're actually carrying his newest book, Bible Prophecy Answer Book, Everything You Need to Know About the End Times. I highly recommend it. I've read 95% of it here. I was hoping to finish it today. And I had suggested in the previous segment that I wanted to talk a little bit about America in prophecy. But Dr. Ron Rhodes, that clip we just heard, and again, those are some clips from Dr. J. Randall Price, but you believe, and I think this is going to irritate some folks, I agree with you, you believe that the Israel of God are believing Jews.
Well, that's right. And one of the reasons why that's such a critical thing is that it helps us to understand whether or not the church is the new Israel, or the church takes over the promises that were made to Israel. Many people today who hold to what's called replacement theology say that various verses like, Galatians 6:16 and Philippians 3 verse 3 prove that the church takes over all the promises to Israel. But I don't think that's the case. As one example, in Galatians 6:16, we find a reference to the Israel of God, but that doesn't mean the church is the new Israel. Contextually, Paul, who himself was a Jew, is referring to saved Jews. Mm-hmm. That is to say, Jews who have trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. I might mention to you, Jan, that even in the book of Acts, we find Israel mentioned 20 times and the church mentioned 19 times. And then Paul himself in Romans 9 through 11 goes on to very clearly and definitively stating that God still has a plan for ethnic Israel. You know, very clearly the church right. and Israel remain distinct.
Right. And that, of course, is sort of the hallmark of what you and I believe, which is dispensationalism, which is different than the belief systems of amillennialism, preterism, and some other isms that we could talk about. But this is the hallmark of dispensationalism, is that there are two distinct people, the church and Israel. And I appreciate how you and Dr. Hitchcock and others handle that. I want to keep my promise and head into America in prophecy. And you suggest there's no consensus on how America fits into the end time picture. We clearly are a part of all nations, which are referred to very often. You don't even feel we're the young lions referenced in Ezekiel 38:13.
Well, no, I don't. I think that there's a tendency to sometimes read things into the text of Scripture. And this is not to call into question some of my wonderful brothers and sisters who've written on this topic, who have held to some of these views. I think that what all of us has to do is to make sure that first and foremost, we're seeking to be biblicists even before we're dispensationalists or before we're any other theological system. And so by allowing Scripture to govern everything that I believe, I think that there's a tendency sometimes to read into the text of Scripture some things that, you know, may not be there. And so the reference to the young lions, or the reference to the land divided by rivers Isaiah 18:1-7, you know, allegedly being the Mississippi River, or the reference to the land of Tarshish in Ezekiel 38. I mean, these are all up for discussion as to whether or not they refer to America. My personal belief is that America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy, and that leads me to the question, why not? You would expect America to be mentioned because we're the primary ally, at least we have been the primary ally of Israel.
With the exception of the last 8 years, but I do believe we have a very pro-Israel administration as we speak. And I've heard Nikki Haley, ambassador to the United Nations here very recently, and my goodness, she's just taking a stand for Israel that is knocking it out of the park, to put it mildly.
And that's wonderful and good. The issue that I raise in my book, though, is that the rapture will take place, I believe, before the tribulation period. And when that happens, most of your pro-Israel people in the United States will vanish. So the question becomes, what will happen to the United States when all pro-Israel Christians vanish? And I make that qualifications because not every Christian is pro-Israel.
That's right.
There are some Christians who believe that the church replaces Israel. So qualifications are very necessary. But the fact is that when the rapture happens, support for Israel is going to become greatly depleted. And I think that at that point, anti-Semitism is going to escalate like you've never seen it before.
Well, Ron, since you brought that up, and I think it's one of the primary end-time signs as well, I just happened to pick up a periodical here by a Christian leader. And again, Christian leader, I'm not going to name him because I'm not going to give this person any attention or send folks to his website. A catalog he produces talking about the Jews, the gods of chaos, bring global devastation. That's a DVD, I think. Goldman Goldman Sachs 666 is the world's richest and most wicked bank, and Rothschild is its secret prince and head, empire of the elite, Rothschild four pillars of power, and the takeover of America. I could go on and on. The devil men in action, that's the Jews, by the way. This is a Christian leader. Again, I'm not going to name him. I could cite another 20 items that he's peddling in this catalog, and it's shocking.
Well, you know, I come across things just like that, and it is bewildering. And to me, the solution to all of that is to take a proper approach, a literal approach to understanding biblical prophecy. I don't know how you feel about it, Jan, but it seems to me, with this emphasis on replacement theology, that anti-Semitism is a natural result of that kind of thinking.
Exactly.
And so what you believe matters. What you believe in terms of Bible prophecy has an impact on how you view the Jewish people. Now, here's why that is so important, Jan. And you know where I'm going with this. It's the Abrahamic covenant back in Genesis 12. You know, God promised Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless, but those who curse you, I will curse. Now, God forbid that America should ever turn its back on Israel, because if America turns its back on Israel, including after the rapture, you know, God has not ever reneged on the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12. If America turns its back on Israel and curses Israel, I think that we're going to reap a massively bad harvest at that point. And of course, Scripture actually indicates that that's what's going to happen, because I think that what's going to happen to America is that America is going to weaken and be subsumed into the globalism of the end times. And I hate to say it because I'm a patriot, but I also think that in the end times, America will likely join up with the forces of the Antichrist. Because when you read Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14 and the book of Revelation, it's clear that all the nations of the earth and all the kings of the earth move against Jerusalem. And so I hesitate to say it, but you know, I'm a biblicist. All the nations must include the United States.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you conclude, Dr. Rhodes, in the book is that we simply could suffer the fallout from judgment.
I think that America is ripe for judgment. And in fact, I raised the question, are we at Romans 1?
Yeah, and I think we are. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Dr. Ron Rhodes, because we're carrying his newest book, Bible Prophecy Answer Book, Everything You Need to Know About the End Times. We have seriously cut back on some of our products, but I felt this was so important because it's a little encyclopedia. It's about 250 pages with every imaginable topic covering end times, from rapture, judgment seat of Christ, tribulation, Antichrist, 144,000, tribulation, campaign of Armageddon, and much, much more, all in a little paperback. It's in our store, olivetreeviews.org. olivetreeviews.org. Give us a call, and it'll be in our print, and it's already been in our e-newsletter. It's coming out in a forthcoming print newsletter out in a couple of weeks. Let's move on, Ron, to another topic or two, as time allows here. Your thoughts, and you talk about it, on the one world religion, and you cite the Catholic Church, Revelation 17, the Antichrist eventually is going to bump off the false prophet, head of the one world religion, and you ask if this role couldn't possibly but just be an apostate Christianity. Could it be the Catholic Church? Perhaps just general paganism. Do you have a leaning here?
Well, I have a leaning towards some kind of a paganism. And the reason I say that is that whatever your view on this false religious system is, then, you know, it has to, according to the book of Revelation, be the same kind of religion that was featured in Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and the Antichrist Empire. And we see this in the book of Revelation. And so the problem that I had with apostate Christendom and the Roman Catholic Church is we didn't see those influencing Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome. However, it is entirely possible that there could be some form of apostate Christianity that sort of forms a hybrid religion with various forms of paganism. Jan, did you know today that there's a thing called Christian paganism?
Yes.
And there's also what's called Christian Wicca or Christian witchcraft.
I know there is. Yeah.
I mean, we're already seeing that kind of stuff today. So to me, it seems likely that there's going to be some kind of a hybrid religion that involves paganism, but probably a bunch of apostate Christians that were left behind. not taken up at the rapture because they were not true Christians.
Ron, I want to read just three short paragraphs of something and get your comment. This goes to a little bit different topic, and that is globalism, also the Antichrist. It's written by Pete Garcia over at Omega Letter, and that's the website of the late Jack Kinsella. And Garcia writes this: the reason we are seeing the ramped up turmoil in the world today is that Satan is sensing that he's losing all the momentum towards global governance he has gained over the last century. He is neither omniscient nor omnipresent, so he does not know how all this works out except for what the Bible has already said about it. He does not know when things will kick off, but he knows once the tribulation begins in earnest, he has a very short time. Until then, the timing remains the great unknown factor, so for him, there could be a year left or 100, which is why he always has to have a man waiting in the wings to take the role of Antichrist. Garcia goes on, we watching believers sense that the time is soon because of all the converging signs that this current season is throwing at us, but we can't know the day or the hour. But since Satan doesn't know either, he is forced to stir up all his anti-nationalist and anti-populist movements. But Satan isn't just stirring up the nation and people groups, he is also using human institutions to do his bidding. The globalists, knowingly and unknowingly, have irrationally declared all-out war on President Trump and his nationalist populist agenda. It is not that God needs Trump to make America great again. God is using this as a forcing function on Satan. In other words, God is forcing Satan to show his hand. Whereas in the past, Satan's influence was like an undercurrent corrupting everything that it touched, now Satan is being forced to overtly express his satanic agenda through the media, academia, and deep state agents who are actively creating a rebellion to thwart a return to a strong America. While the United States may not authoritatively rule the world, it is its greatest influencer. The last paragraph reads, the last thing Satan's globalist agenda needs is a strong, independent United States bound under a constitution created under the auspices of a Judeo-Christian worldview. Since the United States currently dominates the world militarily, economically, and politically, and influentially, as she goes, so goes the world. This struggle, my friends, is why we are at the escalation of the birth pangs. Ron, one thing we haven't talked about is this escalation of globalism, the rush to a one-world system. We've talked about the Antichrist. We've talked about how things are converging, but we've got a rush to a one-world system, and that's what this Pete Garcia is writing about here.
Well, and I think that what he said was right on the mark on some aspects. I think that we are witnessing globalist policies emerge in economics today, and banking and commerce and trade and manufacturing and education and religion and agriculture. I mean, on and on I could go. And the way that I see it is that with the multiple cascading problems that engulf our world today, the entire world is more and more yearning for somebody who can take control. They're starting to see that nation states are evil. That's their thinking.
Right.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's what they're thinking. And that the only possible solutions to the problems that we face are globalist in nature. And so I think that the stage is being set for Revelation 13, you know, that time when Satan, through the Antichrist, will actually bring about a one-world government and one-world economic system. And for a time, he will also use a one-world religious system. And so even though that stuff is actually referring to the tribulation period, the stage is being set for it even in our day.
I mean, Hollywood loves to make movies of children who are going to grow up to be the Antichrist. And I agree with the writer here that I think the devil's had someone tapped in every generation to be that person. And that whoever's tapped may not even know that he's tapped to play that role.
Well, the thing you have to keep in mind is that the Antichrist in himself has no intrinsic power. But we learn from 2 Thessalonians 2:9 that Satan is the energizer. Just as Christ was filled and driven by the Holy Spirit, so the Antichrist will be energized by the unholy spirit,
right.
Satan himself. And the book of Revelation several times states that Satan gives his authority, his power and authority, to the Antichrist. So in a way, the Antichrist will be a puppet leader. He will be the visible outworking of the invisible Satan who is working within him.
And no way this is going to be a Muslim. And I know this is a popular teaching today. And you write about it. You cover that in your book here. Again, folks, I'm talking about Bible Prophecy Answer Book, Everything You Need to Know About the End Times. It's in my store, olivetreeviews.org. You can give us a call. You can order online. It's in my print newsletter. It's in my e-newsletter. No way he's going to be a Muslim, Ron. The Jews are not going to have any trust in a Muslim or even a former Muslim.
Well, that's true. And one of the big problems with that whole idea is that no good Muslim would ever claim to be God.
That's true.
You know, when you read the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation and even 2 Thessalonians, it's very clear that he sets himself up as God and he sets himself up to be worshipped by the entire world. What Muslims believe is encapsulated in their creed, which says that there's one God named Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. And so the tendency of modern Muslims, especially the more extreme Muslims today, would be to execute anybody that claimed to be God, because there's only one God named Allah, according to them. And you're right. You know, Israel would not trust a covenant made by an Islamic leader. And furthermore, no Islamic leader, so far as I know, would want to make a covenant with Israel because they want the land back. They want the Holy Land back. They think that Israel stole the land from them.
When we get back, and my next segment is a little shorter, why don't we spend at least a few minutes talking about the phenomenon that a lot of my listeners are longing for. It's called the rapture, and you do talk about it in your book, The Bible Prophecy Answer Book. I know, Ron, since I became a believer and started reading on these issues, I was in my early 30s. Of course, I expected the rapture at that time. I'm a long way from 30, and I think so are you, but the times weren't quite as they are today back then. I'd like to talk a little bit about that as we close out the program. We'll do that, folks, in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Ron Rhodes' newest publication, Bible Prophecy Answer Book, can be yours when you order from our web store. Log on to olivetreeviews.org and click on the store tab. Phone orders are also accepted at 763-559-4444. When you click or call, ask about a great complimentary resource titled, Are We Living in the Last Days Study Guide? This product was recently developed by Olive Tree Ministries to help people navigate the world of Bible prophecy. Again, Dr. Rhodes' new book and the study guide on Bible prophecy are both available at olivetreeviews.org. You can help support this ministry or communicate with Jan Markell when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Jen will be right back right after this.
I have often called Understanding the Times Radio, Radio for the Remnant. Around the world, people have had enough of fake news, slanted news, and evidence that good people are marginalized and unappreciated. That is why this program focuses on the truth and the ultimate good news. If you would like to keep it coming to your neighborhood, please consider a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries. Give online at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can call us business hours, Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just drop us a note. If you can't financially support, let us know we make a difference in your life. Write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Help us look at today, but with another eye on tomorrow and the ultimate hope that awaits us. Folks, this ministry has written a little end time study guide, Are We Living in the Last Days? For your neighborhood group in your church interested in these topics, you can cover it in 12 weeks. It's got built-in questions in the study guide. Check it out in my store, olivetreeviews.org. It's in all of my newsletters, print and e-newsletters, or give my office a call. It's $9 for one copy. You can get 10 copies for $60. And those who have an interest in this topic, you can just have a 12-week study, and it's not detailed, it's not complicated.
In the book, I talk about what I call the convergence factor. And what I mean by that is that we're witnessing dozens upon dozens upon dozens of prophecies converging at a point in the very near future. Now, it would be significant if just one prophecy were being fulfilled, like Israel's rebirth. It would be even more significant if two or three prophecies were being fulfilled. But what we're witnessing today is not just multiple signs of the times being fulfilled, but the stage is actually being set in our day for the fulfillment of prophecies that will take place in the future tribulation period.
Now, let's wrap up our discussion on today's Understanding the Times. Once again, Ron Rhodes and Jan Markell.
It all begins with the Antichrist, a wolf in sheep's clothing who will convince the world that he alone can usher in world peace, yet ultimately will bring destruction and damnation. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John writes about this dark figure as seen in a vision he received from God.
I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror, bent on conquest.
The Antichrist is the first of four horsemen of the apocalypse that will appear in the end times.
Many people will be deceived by the Antichrist, and especially those who are unaware of what the Bible says about the end times. For those who do not know God's word, it is clear that when the Antichrist arrives on the scene, he will come as a man of peace. He will be very attractive, and he will seem to solve the world's problems. He is the counterfeit Christ, and many people will worship him thinking that he is the Messiah, but he's not, and those people will be deceived by him.
The Bible tells us that the world will put their trust in this charismatic leader in hopes of finally achieving world peace. Using an internationally recognized body such as the United Nations, he will establish a one-world government. As a result, nations will relinquish their own power to become subservient to him. God's word also reveals that the Antichrist totalitarian regime will use political, religious, and economic pressure to control every person on earth. The Antichrist will become a global dictator, and when the time is right, he will take control of the world's commerce to the point where no one will be able to buy or sell anything without taking his dreaded mark of 666.
Well, we are going to move on from that dark figure to the ultimate good news, which is, of course, the rapture. Before we get there, let me just say, if you'd like a CD of this program or any program, give us a call. You can become a CD subscriber, $15 a month. Get a CD of every program. We've got to use a credit card for that. Give us a call. If you're sending a gift, particularly if you're a radio listener, always tell us what station you're listening to so that we can credit your gift properly. And would you please sign up for both my e and print newsletter? I'm talking this hour with Dr. Ron Rhodes because we're carrying his newest book, Bible Prophecy Answer Book, Everything You Need to Know About the End Times. It's in my store at olivetreeviews.org. You can give us a call and business hours, and you can also, as I said, sign up for the newsletters. They'll be carried in there. Dr. Ron Rhodes, let's spend the little time we have left here. You indicate that in the Bible, God typically delivers his people before judgment falls, and you're concluding from that Enoch, Noah, Lot, the firstborn among the Hebrews in Egypt, Rahab, who was spared before judgment fell on Jericho. So too, the church is going to be delivered from that very dark tribulation hour, and I couldn't agree with you more. But Dr. Rhodes, as you know, this is slipping in popularity, and those who want to contend with us often contend very contentiously.
Well, they do. In fact, I've even been called a heretic.
Oh, yes.
And I don't like that, but, you know, my goal is to be faithful to what the scriptures actually teach. And there are so many verses that I could cover, but our time is limited. So let me just mention one of many important points, and that is that the tribulation period is a period of God's wrath. You got the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments, all outpouring God's wrath. But scripture tells us that the church is not appointed to God's wrath. And for that reason, 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says that Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. And the term, the wrath, that's a definite article there in the Greek, indicating a specific time of wrath. And the term delivers there is a Greek word that means to snatch out to oneself. Christ will snatch us out from the wrath to come, and that happens at the rapture. Isn't it interesting, Jan, that that fits perfectly with 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 17, which indicates that we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so, you know, when I measure what these people say against what the scriptures teach, I'm going to go with the scriptures every time.
Ron, who do you think the restrainer is? I mean, the Holy Spirit will be active during the tribulation. People are going to find the Lord during the tribulation. Those folks are going to enter the millennium after the tribulation. Then who is the restrainer?
Well, I believe that whoever the restrainer is, he's got to be powerful enough to restrain Satan. I don't think human beings have that power. Mm. I don't think human government has that power. There's only one being who can restrain Satan, and that is God. So I personally believe that this is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the church is indwelt by the Spirit, and we see that in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 6:19. And at the moment of the rapture, the church, which is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, will be removed from the earth. And that constitutes the removal of the restraint so that the Antichrist can emerge. Now, Jan, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit won't be involved during the tribulation period, because I think that he will still be drawing people to salvation during that time. But in terms of his restraint through the church, that is removed at the moment of the rapture.
You know, many denominations believe in a second coming. I think even a partial preterist would believe in a second coming. But they do not believe in a rapture. And so many who are listening today realize that there's something in the future. It's called the second coming, but they just don't have the anticipation that there's going to be a blast of a trumpet and suddenly people disappear.
Well, that's right. But you know, from a scriptural perspective, I think that we have to distinguish between the rapture and the second coming. For example, when you examine the Old and New Testaments, you don't find a single prophecy that has to be fulfilled before the rapture happens. That's why we say that the rapture is imminent. By contrast, the second coming has 7 years worth of signs that must take place before that event can happen. At the rapture, Christ comes for his saints.
Right.
But at the second coming, he comes with his saints back to earth. And Jan, he cannot come with his saints to earth unless he has first come for them at the rapture. There are many such distinctions that we could focus on, but these are two distinct events.
Now, those who are coming to faith during the tribulation are going to go into the millennium with their mortal bodies. They're actually going to continue even to have children. And during that millennium, and that's a whole other program, Ron, and sometime we're going to do something on it. During that millennium, these people with their mortal bodies, are they able to sin?
Well, you know, they have not been resurrected.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, they go into the kingdom still with sin, but they have turned to the Redeemer who does away with sin. Now, here's the thing to keep in mind. Even though only believers enter into the millennial kingdom, these believers will continue as married couples to have babies, and some of them will grow up as unbelievers. And what that means is that by the end of the millennial kingdom, by the end of the 1,000-year period, there will be a substantial number of people who do not believe. They are still permitted to live in Christ's kingdom as long as they render external obedience, but at the very end of that millennial kingdom, there will be a rebellion led by Satan, who is loosed out of that angel prison in order to lead people astray, and of course, Christ will immediately squash that rebellion. And what takes place after that is wonderful, Jan. It's the eternal state. And we've talked about this before on some radio shows, but there's a day coming when we're going to live in our resurrection bodies on a resurrected earth in a resurrected universe.
Ron's book covers all of these topics, the millennial kingdom, great white throne judgment, lake of fire, new heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem, blessings of the eternal state and death finally conquered. So it's about 24 chapters, roughly, and a short book, 250 pages. Again, so many of the issues that I think are important as I think history is winding down. Ron, don't you?
I do think history is winding down. And one of the things I've tried to do in this book is that, Jan, you know, I've written many books on prophecy.
Yes.
And each of those books deals with individual topics. But what I've done is I've taken the best of the best out of all of my books.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want one book that has it all, well, this is the book that I put together for that purpose. And I hope that as Christians read this, their faith will increase, their spiritual lethargy will be blown out of the water, their confidence in God will increase, and they'll be powerfully motivated to live for Jesus.
Ron, if somebody's listening and they're not ready for any of this, what do you have to say to them?
Well, you need to become a member of the family of God, and it's not a hard thing to do because you don't have to earn it. You don't have to work your way into God's family. Christ offers you the gift of salvation today, and the Apostle Paul says, now is the day of salvation, so don't wait. If you feel the Spirit tugging at your heart and you recognize that you're a sinner who can't save himself, the good news for you is that Christ took the rap for you. He took the punishment that you deserved on the cross so that he could give you what you don't have, which is eternal salvation. And so by simply placing your faith in him, you can have that gift of salvation today. And you can couch your faith in terms of a simple prayer in which you invite Jesus Christ into your life and affirm to him that you trust him alone for salvation. And once that happens, you're a member of the family of God. And you are someone that I will meet at the rapture. Amen. Whenever that happens.
Amen. And that's when we get our glorified bodies, at least those in heaven get their glorified bodies. Is that the rapture, correct, Ron?
That's correct. And I like to call it a body upgrade. You know, we're
going
to have perfect bodies. There's no more suffering, no more pain. No more cholesterol buildup, no more kidney failure, no more hairs falling out of your head, no more wrinkles on your skin. It's going to be awesome, Jan. And apparently, based on Scripture, you can still eat food in your resurrection body because Jesus ate food in his resurrection body four times.
Well, let me close with a saying that I like to use now and then. Actually, I use it quite regularly. And somebody sent this to me some time ago. When the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still. The waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, and the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early, he's never late, he's always right on time, and his plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach the world by reporting current events from a biblical perspective. Costing us thousands of dollars, this listener-supported program is delivered each weekend nationwide and into your home. You can help us produce and distribute this broadcast. We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events as reported and discussed through the lens of Scripture. With a blessed hope in view, each week Jan Markell brings you compelling guest interviews to highlight the dangers in today's world. To become our broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also help underwrite this program safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week, and please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team. For daily global updates with a biblical worldview, 24 hours a day, log on to olivetreeviews.org. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.